Welcome to the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. There's a lot we've discussed about South Africa's agricultural sector over the past few segments, and I think today it's only right that we look into the continent. And the exciting country that I think it's worth focusing on this week is Kenya. Kenya, there's a new president there, William Ruto, and his administration has already been making some important changes on agricultural regulations, which I think will have long-term implications for agricultural productivity. And the one I want to focus on is the lifting of the ban on the cultivation of genetically modified maize, particularly white maize. Kenya, like much of the African countries, have had a long-term ban on imports and cultivation of genetically modified crops. One of the countries that have been an exception is, of course, my home country, South Africa, where since year 2000 and 2001 season, we started growing at a commercial scale genetically modified maize, soybeans, and the other crops. And we've been successful in terms of improvements in yields. Of course, improvement in yields are influenced by many things, but I think just being more open to science has been beneficial to productivity. In fact, if you were to look at the maize yields in South Africa today, on average, rain-fed, which means not under irrigation, it's around about 6 tons per hectare. And you look at what's going on in much of the African countries, you find that the average maize yield in the sub-Saharan Africa region is just under 2 tons per hectare. So that just shows you that difference that is there. Of course, some may make a point and say, these are yields by smallholder farmers. What are the yields by more smallholder farmers in South Africa? And all of those technicalities. But the bottom point here is that there's a major yield difference. Fertilizer usage between these countries and South Africa is also one of the contributing factor. South Africa uses, for example, about 90 kgs per hectare of fertilizer. But if you are to look on average in much of the African continent, it's around about 20 kgs per hectare. So that also has an impact on the yields that the growers get to see, to receive, or farmers get to receive when they're planting. But we cannot take away the fact that the cultivation of genetically modified crops in South Africa has somewhat also possibly boosted those yields that we see here at home. Now, Kenya is taking a different stand. It's now opening up, almost taking a stand that is similar to South Africa, where they say they can import genetically modified crops and they will also be planting them there. There's still a couple of steps that needs to be done. The Kenyan authorities, Kenya's biosafety authorities, are probably still going to go down now with the technical work and approving certain varieties and cultivars that can be planted and specifying those that can also be imported. But the point is, now the new administration has opened that door. We're no longer having a country which was very much against anything that is more on a scientific perspective. And I think for a country that is like Kenya, which is a major consumer of maize, this is an important step. And in fact, over the past few seasons, Kenya have been importing large volumes of maize, being one of the major importers of maize in the East Africa region, or even in the sub-Saharan Africa region. Take, for example, the past season, Kenya imported about 700,000 tons of maize. In the current year, which is the 2022-23 season, which starts this year and ends next year, Kenya still has a large import requirements. They still have to import about 700,000 tons of maize, which is roughly the same with what they've imported in the previous year. In the previous year, they got a lot of assistance from the likes of Tanzania, Zambia, and the others, which have had surpluses and they're able to export to Kenya. This time around, though, Tanzania has struggled. We see its maize production, for example, for the current season is down by 16%, which is the season that we just finished harvesting, not the new one that we are planting. It's down by 16%. That has also reduced the volume of maize that is available for export markets, and it has implications then for Kenya. And one then can say, why can't Kenya look to South Africa? And in the past, it was difficult to look to South Africa because of these genetically modified bands that were there, Kenya couldn't really enjoy the South African maize. And in South Africa, over 80% of maize production is genetically modified. So that was a difficult. What they could have done, perhaps maybe then at the time, is to lifting the ban, just like it happened in Zimbabwe, where Zimbabwe lifted the ban on the importation of maize. And that maize, if it's imported, it comes in and it goes directly to for milling. But of course, that can assist in the short term for the consumption. Then the question remains to say, but if it's a situation like that, like what we see in Zimbabwe, we are also disadvantaging the Zimbabwean farmers because they are not getting the same seeds as their counterparts in South Africa, which that is a different argument and a different story, but it would have been remain an important point to consider. But now what's important about Kenya is that they will also be over time having certain varieties that might be similar to South Africa or closer, or having some bit of advantage on growing some of the or the hybrid and the genetically modified seeds, rather than only just focusing on the importation, which is why it's so important what President Ruto did of making sure that there's a lifting of the ban for imports, but also lifting of the ban for cultivation, which means then once the scientists have done their work and approve particular strains or lines of varieties, it will be clear which ones of those that they will be planting. But I think this is an important point, because what it will seek to do now is to say, how do we get Kenya to improve its agricultural productivity and output in general in volumes, so that it's no longer as reliant on the imports as the numbers that I was just mentioning earlier, which is the 700,000 tons that they expected to import. And for them to swing from being a major importer to going on a net exporter, of course, the science part, which is growing, opening up for GM seeds, but also using fertilizers and the other agrochemicals that assist them, is going to be one step in that direction. We also know, though, that they were also confronted by drier weather conditions, which weighed on their yields. There were stories of the fall armyworms in some of the seasons. And currently, with the higher fertilizer prices, it's also leading to a reduced fertilizer usage, particularly in the likes of Tanzania, which is one of the things that has contributed to that 16% decline in Tanzania's maize production. So there's a lot of variables and things that are moving around. But I think from a broad level, we can judge what President Ruto is doing as a positive for Kenya's agricultural sector, making sure that it's modernizing the sector, keeping up with what the other parts of the agricultural abundant countries like South Africa, Brazil, the US, Argentina are doing, because these are countries that have moved way ahead on actually saying they will embrace technology. So it's also for me sitting here in Pretoria and looking what's happening in Nairobi, what's happening in Kenya, as one of the positive steps to see that as a continent, we are beginning to embrace technology and we are moving towards at this direction. The hope is that it will boost Kenya's yields to closer to levels of what we see in South Africa. Of course, that is not going to be an overnight thing, but it will be over time. And the change on the seeds is not the only one story. Productivity is influenced by many things, just like I mentioned in the case of South Africa onto that. But I think overall what we see is a positive, and we hope that Kenya will continue with this approach and vision into agriculture, so that it can also play its major part in the agricultural sector. And I think it will also be an anchor for East Africa, because that's an important region, a good rainfall, and it's an important region for growing the agricultural sector. Kenya could be the first to do this, and I think over time, the likes of Tanzania, Malawi, can also rethink their agricultural sector and think of the ways of actually embracing science onto that, and which I think it will be a major shift. But I think one must mention that this is not something that is only happening in Kenya. In China, for example, we read now and then about some of the strains that have been approved, and it looks like China is also opening up to cultivation of the genetically modified crops. About a few weeks ago, there were reports of such developments, but of course there isn't a full approval now for all of the maize for commercial cultivation, but there's work that is underway towards that. We also read a couple of months ago about some of the developments that are happening in the EU. So these are some of the things things that I think many people are looking at these ways of saying, how do they embrace science to boost agricultural productivity? And it's happening at an important time of the global food crisis, which I think it worries everyone. And some of the recent news, which I think many people saw this past weekend, is of course Russia pulling out of the Black Sea grain deal, which on its own is going to present additional pressures on the global food supplies and the food security arguments. So what Kenya is doing, and all of them, they are setting themselves well to say they will use science to boost productivity so that over time they can have sufficient or maybe vibrant agricultural sector which improves their food security. But the whole story about the global food security and the Russia-Ukraine thing, I'm bringing it up to say this environment of fragile global food system, it's already leading to many people to ask themselves to say, in their own specific countries, what can they do to ensure that they improve their agricultural productivity and generally their agricultural output? And I think using science and embracing any methods that work elsewhere is a positive step to doing that. That's all I wanted to discuss in this week's segment. I will come back next week either with a focus on a global aspects or some of the key things that we are learning in South Africa, and we'll explore those. We recently finalized a trip which were in the Eastern Cape, speaking to agribusinesses and the farmers and learning about some of the key problems that they are experiencing. I may say a bit about that in the next segment, but that's it for now. My name is Wandi Le Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria. You can read more about some of the things that I write in my blog, wandilesihlobo.com, or in the organization that I work for's website, which is Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, AgBiz. It's on www.agbiz.co.za. Thank you for listening.